And then saying, can you hear me?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. David, can I start?
Yes. Yeah. Well, Montreal, but you can start. Put the mute our mics, microphones, so we can all hear you. But you probably won't hear us unless on one. Maybe just okay, because it's more stable here in Toronto. But you can go ahead. We can hear you. We try to see you.
All right. Okay. Amen. Lord, we humbly come before you.
Amen.
We'd like to give this fellowship today to you.
I think you will read the verses again.
I'd like to present ourselves all to you again.
Amen.
Lord, we ask you for your blood to cleanse us.
Amen.
We need your protection.
Amen.
And we need your covering.
Amen.
We pray that you will bless the word and bless this perfecting training.
Amen.
And bless all the dear saints who are participating in it.
Amen.
Lord, we are here for nothing but your interest on the earth.
Amen.
That is to build up your body by building up all the local churches everywhere.
Amen.
Lord, we pray you will raise up a priesthood in all the churches.
Amen.
A priesthood of serving.
Amen.
A priesthood of trained ones.
Amen.
Lord, a priesthood of perfect ones, who can offer up the spiritual sacrifices where they are.
Amen.
And they can build up the spiritual house where they are.
Amen.
Lord, all this is for your testimony. We pray for your grace and mercy upon us, Lord. We need you. How we need you today. How we need you all the time. And bind the enemy on our behalf. We reject him and we condemn him. And we're here just to enjoy your presence and your speaking once again. Thank you, Lord. Well, saints, I think we would now continue our fellowship from last week. We are having a re-meeting concerning the matter of service. And three meetings is really not enough, are not enough, but that's all that we can do now. So I look to the Lord that all of us would be doubly or triply exercised, not only in these meetings, but outside of these meetings, especially with much prayer to the Lord, taking this word to the Lord individually, perhaps in our present service groups, and perhaps even in our prayer meeting times, to the Lord and to each other once again. The word, the spoken word, is really the Lord's blessing. But we need to labor on that word in cooperation with him, lest the word just come to us and then it will be dropped by the wayside. We need to labor. We need to have a spirit of labor even in this word so that we may have entrance into it. We can apply it, experience it, and practice it in our church life immediately and right away. I hope this will not be the only series of training. We will have more training in the coming months and years, because this is an ongoing thing. And we need to be continually equipped and furnished so that we can serve in an adequate way. Not to mention that there are always new things coming up, young things coming up, who needs to be perfected. Brother David, I'm still hearing some echo. I don't know from who. I hope everyone has muted their microphone. Well, last week, dear saints, I cover through the book of Romans, and I told you we will be using the book of Romans this time in these three meetings. We cover the statuses, the four statuses of a proper serving one. And we saw that in the pattern of Paul, firstly. And we also then see how in Romans we are actually the same as the apostle in principle. His gift, his measure of faith, his portion of grace may be bigger than ours, relatively speaking. But our statuses before God should be the same. His office, his particular function as an apostle, as a minister of the word, may be somewhat higher than ours. But in principle, what we're doing is the same work that he is doing. In fact, one of the apostles' work or job or responsibility, as seen in Ephesians chapter 4, just like the evangelists or like the prophets or the shepherds of teachers, these gifts, their job is to actually perfect us, perfect all the saints, so that we all can enter into the same work of the ministry. So, again, in this sense, we are the same as the apostles. I hope you remember what all those four statuses are. Number one, we are slaves, which speaks to our position before God, the matter of right and the matter of ownership, that we are not hirelings. We are not paid employees before God, certainly not in the church life. None of us should have any kind of fallen thought that we are here somewhat paid to do a job. That is Christianity. They hire people, they fire people, they give them a good contract. They're hiring some kind of manager. No, that is wrong. Our position is a slave. We've been purchased by the highest price in the universe, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Today, we are slaves to God. We have been enslaved to God, enslaved to righteousness, to serve God and to serve righteousness. We have no right. We have no right to do what we want. We have no right to give our opinion. We have no right at all. God has every right. He owns us. As I said, even to the point of deciding our fate, our destiny, our future, even to the point of death, brothers and sisters, we must have a very, very clear view that we are not our own. We belong to Jesus completely, 100%. Oh, if in the church life there is such a view, there is such a spirit of slavery in our midst, I tell you, our church life will be full of sweetness. Full of sweetness. No one will be claiming anything. No one will be maintaining any position. No one, everyone a slave. Paul took the lead to say, I, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, not just a servant, but a slave. I hope this spirit of slavery prevails in the church life, pervades in the church life with the leading ones, starting with the leading ones, living in this way. I say again, may this atmosphere, may this spirit, may this attitude permeate the church life I'll tell you, if we do this, then we have a good foundation in our church service. When you go to serve, do you feel like you're just doing a job? You're some kind of project manager? You're some kind of servant giving assignment? No. Whether you are an apostle, whether you're an elder, whether you are a deacon, whether you're just a responsible one in a service group, or whether you're just a saint serving, we all are slaves. We're all at the same level. There is order in the body. That's another matter. But we all are the same. We all are slaves before God. I hope you can all say I, and you put in your name. I, so-and-so, a slave of Jesus Christ. How sweet that is. How sweet that is. He has every right over us. He controls, he owns us. He is our unique master. And we serve him. We love him. The second thing is, remember, we are what? We are all priests. We're not only slaves, we are the priests of God. A priest does not mean a priest like in the Catholic Church, some kind of a person who have been through religious training, Bible school, there's some kind of professional serving person, there's some kind of a pastor, some kind of minister. That is a fallen and erroneous concept of being a priest. In the New Testament, every saint is a priest. We're all a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. We've been redeemed by the blood to become a kingdom of priests unto God, according to the book of Revelation. So, dear saints, we're all priests, and a priest is clearly a serving one, one who serves God in worship to him. I made it very clear last time, don't just think you're just vacuuming the floor, you're just doing some finances, you're just taking care of some children, you're taking care of ushering some saints, you're taking care of the young people, or you're doing just a gospel work. All these are practical and very real services. But you must have the impression, you must have the clear inner realization that while you are doing these outward things, inwardly you are worshiping God. I'm doing this in worship to God. I am taking care of the children in worship to God. I'm selling books to the saints in worship to God. I'm prophesying in the meeting in worship to God. I'm preaching the gospel right now. I am shepherding some saints in worship to God. Priests are those who take the lead to worship God. And what is to worship God? It is to offer up the spiritual sacrifices. In the Old Testament, the priests, their main job is to offer up, firstly at the altar of the burnt offering, so many different sacrifices. The burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, trespass offering, and various other supplementary offerings. All these are offered to God. So a priest is an offerer of offerings. And we all know the unique offering in this universe, which is typified by all those offerings in the Old Testament, is just Christ. So whatever we're doing in our service, if it's up to standard or a priestly standard, it should be an offering of Christ to God. When you're praying, you're serving by prayer, you're offering Christ to God. When the brothers come up to break bread at the Lord's table, they're offering Christ to God. When you're taking care of the young people, you're not just taking care of some youngsters, you're offering Christ to God. You must have that awareness. when I started to serve the Lord, when I started to function in the meetings, I knew I was sharing something with the saints or ministering something to the saints. But a dear brother helped me very quickly. He said, you must remember when you're speaking to the saints, to the congregation, you're not just speaking to them, you're speaking to God. In other words, I'm not just serving the saints with Christ. I'm serving first and foremost this Christ to God for his satisfaction. When I preach the gospel, I am serving God, worshiping God by offering Christ to God. But today, this Christ is no longer just the individual Christ. This Christ today is the corporate Christ. So this Christ today includes his members. So our gospel preaching, as Paul says, is to offer up the nations, the Gentiles, the people, the saved ones, the saved sinners, to God as members of Christ. So even that is a kind of offering. And when we praise the Lord in the meeting, pray in the meetings, those are the sacrifices of our lips, confessing his name. That is surely a sacrifice unto God. When we give, even material giving, give material offering, that is actually a worship to God. Week after week, we put something in the offering box. Even that is a service. But that service is not just to help the church. That service is a sweet-smelling savor to God. That's in Philippians 4. Paul considered the Philippians giving to him a kind of sweet-smelling savor of sacrifice unto God. Virtually everything we do in the church, like brothers and sisters, is to offer Christ to God in one way or another. I hope we can all be spiritual in this way by having this level of understanding. Number three, we are all deacons, the practical serving ones. We're deacons in the church. So with a lot of practical matters, and we're going to cover more, if not today, next week, a lot of practical things that we do in the church life, and a lot of needs of the saints, to minister to them, to fellowship with them, all the things, practical things especially, this is a deacon's work. But actually, it is not just to carry out those things. Brothers, some of you sign checks. It's not just to sign checks, am I right? And of course you do that. But even that is a service to the saints. It is to take care of the needs of the church, albeit in practical way. Serving tables. Some sisters cook. Take care of the love feasts. All these things are deacons' work. The first group of deacons in the first church on the earth, Jerusalem, they were raised up to take care of the tables. There was a problem then of some kind of uneven distribution of food. So these deacons, the first group of deacons ever, were appointed to take care of tables. So taking care of the food is a great matter. We do a lot of eating in the church life, right? But even that, brothers and sisters, and especially sisters, that is what? Serving the saints. Phoebe of Cenchrea, the one who was very commended by Paul in chapter 16, verse 1 of Romans, was called a patroness to the saints. That means a protectress, one who protects, one who serves, one who helps, one who sustains the saints. It's like a hostess, you see, in a family. She's responsible for every meeting, every need of her guests. This is the meaning of being a deacon, who serve in a way to meet the needs, to contribute to the needs of the saints. The saints have so many practical needs, and on a regular basis, the church life has so many practical needs. I mentioned a whole bunch already earlier. We all should be part of that. Generally, we don't hire people. In some cases, we do need to hire some people, outside people, to do some specific work that we cannot do or that we have no time to do. But generally, a lot of these Levitical-type services, practical services, are done by the saints. I like to see that every saint in the church functioning in some capacity in one or more of these services. The leading ones, that should be your goal. And brothers and sisters, as you take care of new ones, you get them saved, you help them into the basic Christian life, very, very soon you must bring up this matter of service to immediately help them to serve the Lord. Maybe in very simple things. Just bring your portion of food. Just help to set up some chairs. Just help to put away things. Very simple, but help them to serve right away. Every one of us are born priests. When we were regenerated, we received the life of a serving one. We have a desire to serve, and we have a need to serve. So you must not suffocate or suppress that. You rather should build up, you rather should facilitate that. Help everyone, every saint around you to serve. If there are 100 people in your church, there should be 100 people serving. If there are 10 people in your church, all 10 should be serving. Then that we're in a proper kind of condition. Lastly, the last status is that we are a what? We are a minister. This word means a public servant. And I mentioned this, that is the word that Paul used to describe himself. You see, and he said, I am a minister to the nations, to the Gentiles. So the picture here was that he considered himself not only a servant of the saints in the church life, but he was indeed a servant to all men, all mankind. Wherever he goes, he served every man. Well, what did he serve men with? Well, sure, he served them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He served them with the gospel of the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, this is a great service of the church. The church exists on the earth with the Great Commission of Matthew 28. And that is to go forth to the nations, to disciple them, to baptize them, and to teach them. That is the primary great function, or rather commission, of the Church of God. We are the Church of God. So whatever community we happen to be in, whatever city or locality you're in, we are there as ministers, as public servants to all mankind, our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, people in our community. We are here to serve them with the gospel. So this service is a great part of the church service, to serve in the gospel. So that's why Paul says in chapter 1, verse 9, I serve in the gospel of his son. I serve in the gospel of his son. Paul, serve the public with the gospel, to bring them the good news and to bring them into Christ. Now today, brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you about two main principles of service. That is how to serve. I'm not going to talk about the things we serve the Lord in, perhaps next week. Today I want to concentrate on two main critical things. You must remember this. We must serve the Lord in this way. Now this is again according to Romans. I have you read already Romans chapter 12, am I right? Some verses there. Last week, if you recall, I had you read some other verses in Romans 1, in Romans 7:76, 1976, and I believe I had you read Romans 12:11. Now, what I'm going to share today are embodied in these verses. What are the 2 points? What are the 2 points? Number one, we must learn to serve God in our spirit. To serve the Lord in our regenerated spirit. To serve the church in our mingled spirit. This is a big point in Romans. We must learn this. There's no other way and no other place and no other means in which and by which we serve God that is acceptable. And I'll get back to this. Let me give you the second point. The second point is we must learn to serve God in the body. In the body. The first one is in the spirit. The second one is in the body. These two things you must not forget. You must not forget. This is based on the revelation of the Word of God, and surely this is based very much in our experiences in the church life. Now let's get into this. First of all, Paul says in Romans 1, and I'm opening my Bible here in front of me, he says, God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. How unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers. If you don't love your Bible that much, I would like you to underline or highlight, I serve in my spirit. A very, very particular expression or phrase. And even Paul called God to be his witness. My goodness, he is calling God to the witness stand like in a law court. God is witnessing to all, to the saints, that this apostle serves him in his spirit. Why is this so important? Well, we have to, let me just give you a kind of a sister verse, and that is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. There Paul, again, testified that he does not serve God by his flesh, like the Judaizers under the law. But he said, I serve by the Spirit of God. That Spirit is capital S Spirit. All right? The big Spirit. The Spirit of God. Here it says, I serve in my spirit. That is his human, regenerated spirit. These are sister verses, excuse me. Why is this the case? This is important. Brothers and sisters, today we are in the realm of the spirit. We're in a divine and mystical realm of the spirit. Which spirit is the consummation of the triune God? This is the final form, the ultimate form of the processed triune God. He was the Father, he is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Spirit. We know that. But in economically speaking, today he has, as the Father, he once became the Word, right? The Word, he became a man. And so John 1 says the Word became flesh. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, it says the last Adam became the life-giving Spirit. So this man, this flesh, went through another step of transfiguration, that is through death and resurrection, and became a life-giving spirit. That spirit is the consummation of this process, triune God. I think we're all clear about that. Now, today, that spirit has been what? That spirit has been breathed into us. At the time of our salvation, our regeneration, we receive this triune God, this spirit into us. Into where? Into our human spirit. So today, this God resides in our spirit. Today, Christ is in us as the spirit residing in our human spirit, even mingle with our spirit. So, we who are joined to the Lord are one spirit. Today, we have to be clear. So, you want to serve God, where do you go and serve Him? Well, the question is, where is He? Yes, He is in the heavens, but that's objective. Subjectively, He is in our spirit. So, to serve Him, we have to go to where He is. And that is to our, what? To our spirit, to the holiest place where He is. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus told that Samaritan woman, the time is now, that it is not, you don't serve God in this mountain or in that mountain. God is spirit. And those who want to worship Him in spirit and in reality. The point here is, it's not going to some physical location to serve God. And by extension, that means it's not just by doing some outward activity that we serve God. We have to find out where God is. God is in our spirit. And so we have to go to our spirit in order to worship Him. And I've said already, worship and serve is the same thing. So to serve the Lord, to serve God, we must go to Him in our spirit to serve Him. In other words, we must serve Him in our human spirit. Now that is the point, first point. The second thing is this. This also means, and we have to be clear, that the spirit, that is our spirit, is different than our heart, different than our soul, which includes our mind, emotion, and will, and surely it is different from our natural life. Now, I hope you remember these words. The spirit is different from our heart. From our soul, from our natural life. Paul, by saying or emphasizing the fact that we serve God in His Spirit, implies that he does not serve God in any of these other places. All these are part of us, including the Spirit. But he mentioned the Spirit only. That means this. We have to what? We cannot serve God in merely in our heart, no matter how good your heart is. Actually, the Bible says our heart is wicked, incurably wicked. We may love, use our heart to love. The heart is useful, just like our soul's faculties are useful. But we must be clear, that's not the source of our service. That's what, not where we serve God. The Spirit is where we serve God. The soul is not our spirit. The mind, the emotion, and will is not our service. Therefore, we cannot serve God in our mind. We must not serve God in our emotion. And we cannot serve God in our will. If we're in these places, then we cannot serve the Lord properly. And surely, we cannot serve God in our natural life, in the old Adamic in our natural life. Our natural life may be good. Our natural life may be capable. Our natural life may be smart. But that is not the place to serve God. Now, brothers and sisters, my burden this morning is this. For this reason, we all must know our spirit. We all must know how to touch our spirit. We all must know how to be in our spirit. To do that, you have to be able to discern your spirit from your heart. I'm not sure if all the saints know how to do that. Some feels even our heart and our spirit is the same. You know, the Chinese, they say, xin ling. Xin is heart. Ling is spirit. They mean the same thing. No, you must discern these are two different things. You must be able to separate and discern them. So a good heart does not help. Actually, a lot of times a good heart spoils and damages. We need to know our spirit, brothers and sisters. When we call on the Lord, when we pray, we're exercising the spirit. You must know the difference. Just like your eyes are different from your nose, just like your mouth is different from your ears, so your spirit is different from your heart. And of course, we must separate our spirit from our soul. That is in Hebrews chapter 4. That the word is living and operative, able to what? Cut asunder the soul from the spirit, to divide soul from spirit. I do have some concern, even some of us. The spirit and soul are all mixed up. You cannot tell the difference. Even some of us, after some years in the church life, still cannot tell the difference. Whether you're operating your soul, your mind, your emotion, your will, or you are using your spirit. In the church life, brothers and sisters, we must be people in the spirit, using the spirit, locating the spirit, exercising the spirit, uplifting the spirit. All the problems in the church and the church services come from the source of what? Either a good heart, but untransformed. A mind full of opinions, full of one's thoughts and ideas. Emotions, my goodness, how emotion damaged the church. Your natural emotions, your natural love, your natural jealousy, your natural hatred, and your natural, and your what? And your will. Strong, stubborn will. You will do this. You will not do this. No one can change you. All this, an unsubmissive will, a unbent will, all these things are damage to the church. And if we bring these things into the service of the Lord, that will greatly damage the church. Another problem that the church face is saints living in their natural life. They just use their natural smartness. You may be a CEO of a company, but that does not qualify you to serve the Lord in the church. You may be some kind of top manager. That doesn't mean you can be a good usher in the meetings. There's two different realms. It's not your natural capabilities. We have to deny, reject all our natural capabilities. In fact, we have to deny our heart, deny our soul, deny our mind, emotion, and will, and deny our natural life. Put our natural life to death. Deny our soul. And what? Let our heart be renewed. And all these things, all these faculties, all these organs, will come under the dominion of the Spirit. It will be controlled by the Spirit. The Spirit will be the boss in us. The Spirit will be the leader in us. The Spirit will be the manager within us, and all these faculties of ours will then be used by the Spirit in our service to the Lord. Now, this is such a big subject, I don't even know how to talk more about it. I really feel this line of ministry is very needful among the saints. We must be a church in the Spirit. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, I serve the God of my forefathers in a pure conscience. In a pure conscience, proving that our conscience is part of our human spirit. So he was right. He was serving God in a pure conscience that is in his spirit. Without this, trust me, saints, the church will be just a worldly organization, people expressing ideas, people doing whatever they want, emotions flying around, natural capability being brought in. Eventually, even we become just a worldly place, and that is no longer the church. The church is in the Spirit. We are the habitation of God in spirit. We must find that realm. We must know that realm by knowing how to use our spirit, exercise our spirit in the meetings, outside of the meetings, even to be in a meeting, to pray, to share something, to prophesy is a service. And there you've got to be in the spirit. So when we come together, that's why, the first thing we need to do is to pray. Why? Not as a program. We've got to pray ourselves out of everything else. Out of our soul. Out of everything else into the Spirit. Then we can serve the Lord. Now, the second verse is in chapter 7, verse 6. There it talks about, now we have been discharged from the law, having died to that in which we were held, so that we serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. In chapter 6 of Romans, Paul talks about us being baptized, being buried with Christ, identified with his death, and then we would also grow in the likeness of his resurrection. That means we will be identified, be one with Christ's resurrection. And it says then we should walk in newness of life. The point there is our living. Today our daily walk, our daily life, should be one that is identified with Christ's death and resurrection. That our old man, we have to be very clear, our old man has died. Our old man has been crucified. Our old man has been buried. Now today I'm a new man in Christ, in resurrection, and therefore I have a new daily walk, a new daily life, not like people in the world anymore, but a Christian believer in Christ. And what is that kind of living? It is a walk in the newness of life. Because this life refers to the divine life of God. Now in this verse that I just read, chapter 7, verse 6, the emphasis here is service. In the matter of service, we have to serve in newness of spirit. In our walk, we walk in newness of life. In our service, we serve in the newness of spirit. Again, this spirit refers to our regenerated spirit that is mingled with God the Spirit. The point here, brothers and sisters, is that since our old man is crucified, since we have been discharged from the law that is given to the old man, since now we are married to Christ as a new man, we're the new man, so today we have to be those identify with Him, one with Him. We would stand on the fact that the old man has been crucified. So leave the old man out the door of the church. Don't bring the old man with you into the church. He's dead already. He's crucified already. He's on the cross. You have to declare that. Not only so, today you are a new man in Christ, and this new man must be identified with His resurrection. You have to declare, I am with Christ. I am raised up with Christ. I am resurrected with Christ. I am a new man in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. You have to believe that and declare that. That's a real Christian. That's a real member of the body. Now, as such, brothers and sisters, we need to serve. And how do we serve? We serve in newness of spirit. That means what? That means, brothers and sisters, that today we serve in the spirit where the Spirit of God dwells. And because in the new creation, starting with our spirit, regenerated spirit, everything has been made new. It says what? In 2 Corinthians, behold, old things are passed away. The whole old creation, or the old things are passed away. Everything, all things have become new with us. We're a new man. We have a new life. We even today have a new spirit. God promised in the Old Testament, I will put within them, I will give them a new spirit. Today, we're a new, everything about us is new. And everything that is in our spirit, the place of regeneration, is new. So when we serve God in our spirit, everything is new. Rather than the oldness of the letter, that's the contrast here. And that refers into the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the priests, the children of Israel, they served God according to a bunch of rules and regulations. They served God according to ordinances and precepts. They served God according to the letter. So they do the same thing every time. All those things become rituals, all those things become dead, all those things become a routine, all those things become just something of a custom. And it becomes old. Becomes old. Brothers and sisters, in the church life, how do we prevent ourselves from becoming that way? Just the same old thing. The only way is we serve Him in our spirit. You may still be ushering, just like you ushered last week. But this week's ushering is different than last week because you're serving in newness, because you are exercising your spirit. So outwardly, you may be doing the same thing, but inwardly, it is all new. And the saints will be fed by this newness. The saints will be touched by this newness. Lord's table. We have meetings every week. Outwardly, it seems we're doing the same thing week after week. But in the spiritual realm, it should not be so. Every meeting should be new. Every time we come together, it's new. You know what I mean. You know, you can sense it. Sometimes we come together, it's just old. We're just repeating something. We're just going by the book. We're just doing things according to a program. You go to these so-called Christian services, you take away the program, they hardly know what to do. We don't serve by a program. We don't even serve by our experience in the past. We don't serve by habit. We serve in newness of spirit. I guarantee you, if we pray ourselves into the Spirit, if we call on the Lord, if we touch the Spirit, dear saints, even when you're selling books, it's new. When you're taking care of the children, it's new. When you're setting up chairs, it's full of newness. The newness is not in what you do. The newness is from the Spirit, which you are exercising. Just remember this. Just remember this. Our spirit is the source of the newness of life. Our spirit is the source of the newness of God, the newness of resurrection. So again, serve God in your spirit. Now the last verse along this line is chapter 12, verse 11. Romans, huh? Chapter 12:11 says what? It says this. It says, hold on a second here. It says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be burning in spirit, serving the Lord. That service here is the service of a slave. But the main point is this, that is, we have to be burning in the Spirit. Burning in the Spirit. Not just in the Spirit, you're saying, but burning, on fire, hot, even sometimes we say boiling. I see some saints, it's like they drag themselves to the meeting. They drag themselves to do something, to serve. And when they're serving, it's like they're about to die. It's like they're sick. Surely, they feel very, very cold. I tell you, this kind of service is hardly prevailing. This kind of service cannot minister life and Christ to people. We have to be what? Burning in the Spirit. In Revelation, the Lord Jesus said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now that's a very, very serious word. Brothers and sisters, let's not be lukewarm. Let's not be cold. Let's be burning in the Spirit. Now, the saints everywhere, in Ottawa, in Montreal, in Halifax, in Toronto, in Markham, in Brampton, in all places, whether you have large number or small number, we, brothers and sisters, if you mean business, have to take the lead in the church life to be burning. You need to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. We all have a gift, but that gift is frozen. That gift you put in a refrigerator. That's no good. We need to take up that gift every time we come together and fan it into flame. Fan it into flame. Exercise the Spirit. Pray. Right? Use your Spirit. Don't be passive. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be indifferent. Don't be cold. Brothers and sisters, be burning in the Spirit. Now, I tell you from the first day I came to the church life in the USA, that's over 40 years ago. I thank God. I came into a church life that is just burning to the uttermost. And one of the first things I learned in the church life is I must be burning all the time, not just once in a while, all the time. So I practice to exercise my spirit. I'm a kind of a quiet person by nature. I'm kind of a conservative, you may say even introverted person, according to my disposition. You may not believe me, but that's a fact. But I realized that has no place in the church. If I really mean business to serve the Lord, which is what I want to do, I must be burning in the Spirit all the time. Now, I'd like to give you a testimony. Now it's over 40 years. Let me see, 43 years now. That's a long time, right? Today I'm a lot older than when I came in. I came in when I was in college, in university. But I'd like to give you a testimony. And I say this to the glory of God, not of my boast. If I boast, I boast of His mercy. And that is, in these 40-some years, I have not lost my burning. I have not lost my burning in the Spirit. Now, in my early years, I have a lot more energy. I can jump up and down a lot. These days, don't have that much physical energy. And I can't jump up and down like a young person. But I must tell you, I'm still burning. I'm burning. And every time I'm with the brothers, I like to be one of the first to use my spirit. You see, when I serve, I would use my spirit. I would not be one who is cold in the spirit. I refuse to be a lukewarm Christian. I will not be one who sit in the back row. If I do anything in the church life, I do it with my whole being. I do it with everything I've got. That's the church life that I know. I'm concerned in many church life, as a saying goes, it's, let's say a car today, you have a V6 engine, huh? Six pistons. In some church life, I never see all system, six pistons firing at the same time. It's always two firing, three firing. And then at the next meeting, those two that fire stop firing, and then another two start firing. It's like this car can never go to top speed. This car cannot move in a quick way because not all the entire engine is always running at 50% or less. Imagine, brothers, if all the pistons are firing all the time. My, I tell you, the church car, huh? We'll be going 100 miles an hour. That's the problem. This meeting, you're hot and I'm cold. Next meeting, it's like we change seats. You become cold and I become hot. Well, what good is it that we just change seats? What if we both become hot? We all become hot. I tell you, the church will be burning. Christ and the burning church. The song says, the testimony, the strength of our testimony, in by one measure, is how burning we are in our spirit. When people come to our midst, they just touch the temperature. They just feel the fire. They just sense the warmth. Because we're burning in the spirit. And when you're burning, listen to me, that's when your gift is aflame. That's when your gift is manifested. That's when your gift, the talent you receive from the Lord, is displayed. it's exhibited when you are burning in the spirit. You know, we drink tea, right? We have a hot water and we put a tea bag in it. Have you put a tea bag in ice water? Or a tea bag even in room temperature water? Not much happened. But when you put a tea bag in boiling water, my goodness, all kinds of things happen. That water becomes tea. I'm sorry to say, in some churches, I go there, it's like ice water, and I put my tea bag in there, nothing happens. In fact, my tea bag got frozen. Or nothing happens. But in some church, I go there, it's so hot, I put my tea bag in there, instant tea. We have instant tea. So a wonderful beverage. So good. So tasty. We must serve God in our spirit. Not in our natural man. Not in our mind or emotion or will. Not even in our heart with a good intention. We must serve God in newness of spirit, in a burning way. In a burning way. Pick this up, dear saints. We have many books amongst us that talks about this, about serving in the spirit. Go pick up those books and get into them. Get into them, even as a small group, or even in your prayer meeting. Get into them. There's a Chinese book, I don't know whether it's translated into English, called The Spirit and the Service of the Spirit. It was given in Chinese. I think it may be translated now. There's another book, I believe, that says Serving in the Spirit by Brother Witness Lee. I got a lot of help from that, and he spent a lot more time on this matter. Now, I must move on. That is the first point related to our service. And that is, we have to serve in our spirit. By the way, probably there's no other book in the New Testament, or at least in Paul's writing, that touches this matter of the our life in the Spirit, our service in the Spirit, so much like Romans. Romans 8, for example. Romans 8. Almost every verse, so many verses, talk about being in the Spirit. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. Our spirit is life. Setting our mind on the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit. You go and read Romans 8, verses 5, verses 6, verses 9, verses 10, verses 16, full of the human spirit. Brothers and sisters, without the Spirit, there's no church. Without the Spirit, there's no Christian life. For sure, without the Spirit, there's no Christian service to speak of. Now, I'd like to come to the second point quickly. We must end this by noon today. And that is another main great point in our service. And that is, we have to learn to serve the Lord in His body. This means simply, we do not serve individualistically. We must not serve independently. We must serve as a member of His body. We must serve in the body. I would just, the verses you read already this morning, and I would just like to encapsulate them into about 10 points. You can just write down these 10 points. We have to do these 10 things to serve in the body. Number one, by presenting our bodies, that means our physical bodies, a living sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. It says this is our most reasonable service. So the first point is to, in order to serve in the body, we have to present our bodies to the church. We have to be available to the brothers and sisters. We have to be available to the church meetings. We have to be available to the services of the church. If you say, I like to serve the Lord, you never show up. You say, I care for the body, but you're not there. There's no service. You must present your bodies to the body of Christ. Number two, by being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's in verse 2, chapter Romans chapter 12. By being transformed by the renewing of the mind. That means what, dear saints? We must not be fashioned according to this age. We must be delivered from this world. The world is against the church of God. Some saints, they are one leg in the world, one leg in the church. It doesn't work. We should not be fashioned according to this age. Nowadays, I tell you, all the internet, all the television, all the things are just to what? Just to keep you fashioned according to this age. You think like the worldly person does. You do the things that a worldly person does. And this way you cannot serve God in the body. We need to be transformed, brothers and sisters. Our mind needs to be transformed. We need to be delivered from this age and the things of this age. I especially mention the internet because it is so insidious. It is so defiling. It is so time-wasting. It is so preoccupying, causing a real loss, dear saints, in our church life today. Saints would have time for the internet, but no time for the Word of God. They have time for the television, but they have no time to serve. Even sometimes when we're in the meeting, our mind is on these worldly things. Brothers and sisters, how can we serve the Lord in the body? This service, our service, is to prove the perfect will of God. That's the church life. And to do that, we need to be transformed. Our mind must be renewed. We need to be rescued from the fashion of this age. Number three, we serve in the body by thinking soberly as God has apportioned to us a measure of faith. We have to think by thinking soberly as God has apportioned to us a measure of faith. The point here is we have to be sober. We have to realize that there's a difference in measure of faith. The eternal life we receive is the same. The spirit we receive when we were saved is the same in all of us. But the measure of faith is a little different from one person to another. And we have to think soberly, because in the body or in the church life, if we do not think soberly, we will be what? Out of place. I think I am so high, I can do this. Actually, you don't have that measure. Then that becomes an ugly thing. That becomes a problem in the church. Don't think of yourself too highly, and don't think about yourself too lowly. Think soberly, just right. Just right. In the body, it's a matter of coordination. It's serving together. If we are out of place, if we don't know our measure, if we don't stay within our measure, we will have conflict. We will have disharmony. We will have what? We will have problems. So you have to think soberly, right? Whatever God has apportioned to you, be sober about it. Number four, we serve in the body by knowing we are one body in Christ. Okay, I think we know that. But we also know that we are one body. Though we're one body, we do not have the same function. Not only our measure, the degree of our measure of faith varies, but we also must realize our function are different. The most difficult thing is when I see some brothers in the wrong function. In the wrong function. They should not be doing that, but they're doing that. And it's just not right. We have to realize we all are one body, no doubt about that. But we all do not have the same function. We have many functions. Praise the Lord. That's why the body is so beautiful. So beautiful. We have different functions. We have different usefulness in the body. Not all the members are the same. There is variety. There's beauty in the variety. And we all, you say, what is my function? Don't worry about that so much. You just grow in life. You just serve. And your function will come out. And sometimes we need some help from the brothers to discern, to tell us what our function, spiritual function may be. But nevertheless, the main point here is what? Is we are one body and we may not have the same function. Now, I said that you should know, we should know that we are one body in Christ. Well, this is a great thing. A great thing. We must, brothers and sisters, we must realize we are truly one body. You must have a body consciousness and a body sense. Some of us are self-conscious, individual conscious. When you come, you're just thinking about yourself. What am I doing? What should I do? How do I release my duty? You don't have a sense. You are in a body. You must be aware of the whole body. Constantly, you must be aware that we are living in one body. We are one body. And all the functions must be harmonized. All the functions must fit together, right, for the purpose of building up this one body. This person must not be too much, and that person must not be too little. We all must function according to our measure, in a coordinated way, in order to what? Express the body life. Express the body life. Now, then I come to the next point. By realizing that we are members one of another. Not just body consciousness. I like to give you this word, member consciousness. Member consciousness. We are not just members of Christ. Members of the body of Christ. We are even members of each other. You know, I am a member of you. You are a member of me. We are intricately, organically joined together in an inseparable way. There's an organic relationship from member to member. You know, look at my hands, right? Look at my hands, right? My finger is a member of the hand, of the palm, and my palm is a member of these fingers. Each of these members are each of these parts are members of each other, and together as members, they work together. They function together in coordination, in harmony, in organic relationship. So when you serve, brothers and sisters, you must have this consciousness of the whole body, right? Of the body. This is something of life. There is a organic relationship between the members, and we cannot operate as a lone ranger. We should never serve individualistically, independently, all by ourselves. Paul says, I have no rest in my spirit because I do not find Titus my brother. There was a door open to him in Troas, but he would not go through that door because he didn't find this other member, Titus. He'd rather forego the opportunity but to take care of the principle of the body. Dear saints, we should not do things alone. We should learn to do things together. You say, oh, it's so cumbersome. It's so inconvenient. Well, you know what? Coordination in the body is a three-leg race. Two persons, but three legs. That means the middle two legs are bound together. And now suddenly they have to run in this way. Not two persons running like this, but two legs bound, and they have to learn to walk in a rather awkward way. Well, saints, that's what we need to learn in the church life. To be bound together, it's always slower that way, awkward that way, but I'll tell you, that is the body way, and that's the way the Lord will bless. A lot of times I say, if you leave it to me, I'll do it all. I'll be very quick. Or you do it all, you won't be bothered. That's so easy, but that's the world. In the church, we do things together, in coordination, in harmony, as members, one of another. Number six, by exercising the different gifts according to the grace given to us. Here is not just the measure of faith, brothers and sisters. Here it says we have different gifts, different talents from the head. And that gift is according to the grace given to us, and all our grace, the grace that the Lord measured to us, in this sense, are different. So our gifts are also different. You know, Paul then goes on to say, some prophesy, some serve, some teach, some exhort, some give, some lead, some even show mercy. All these are in Romans 12. All these are different gifts the Lord has given to us. I know there's some saints. They just have a hard time giving a very strong prophecy. But let me tell you, they are so good in what? In giving to the saints. There's some saints They can never give a message on the podium, but they're so good in showing mercy. We have all kinds. It's just so lovely. I mean, I've been in the church life for many, many years. Not one face of a human, you know, in the human race is the same. We're all different. We all different color precious stones in the New Jerusalem. There's a beauty in each one of us, according to the Lord's gift to us. Yet, I must say, all these different gifts must be coordinated together to have a harmonious service in the church. Now the next point is, by loving and honoring one another. By loving and honoring one another. When we serve, love one another, the new commandment from Christ, and honor one another. Honor one another. I learned to do this. Even with a young saint, a new saint, he's a member. I have to learn to honor their portion from God. To love them. To love that person. To honor them. To honor them as a member and to honor their portion. In other words, to respect their portion. So, saints, this is the way we should serve in the body. Now I have one more point, and that is by living in the kingdom of God. By living in the kingdom of God, that's Romans 14:17-18. It says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Then it says something more. It doesn't stop there. It says, but he who serves Christ in this is well pleasing to God and approved by men. That means we serve Christ by living in the reality of the kingdom life. The church, dear saints, is God's kingdom, God's practical kingdom. You all are in Ottawa, not many saints, right? But Ottawa, the church life, is the kingdom of God. And we all have to live in that kingdom. That means we all have to be under the Lord's ruling, under the Lord's reigning, to be reigning in life, under his headship, under his discipline. We would live in that kingdom of God. And we serve Christ in this way. Right? Even we serve him with some fear within us, some kind of proper, healthy fear within us, because we're living in his kingdom. Well, here again, that verse says, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Again, where the kingdom of God is in the realm of the Spirit, again, we have to be in the Spirit, right? So all this I have given to you are what altogether, 9 points, right? 9 points. So, let me give you just 1 point to make it 10 in serving in the body, and that is by what? By helping, sustaining, and supplying the saints. By helping, sustaining, and supplying the saints in our service. That's, again, Phoebe, the deacons. That's what she does in the church life, in the body. So there you are, the 10 points. My burden, dear saints, I have to conclude, is not just to give you some points. I want to just open up something to you. to give you a view, to give you an entrance in this matter. Don't forget today's sharing, the burden. How do we serve the Lord in the church? And I wish more all the saints will come into this holy service in the church life. It is by number one, serving in the spirit. And number two, serving in the body. If we take care of these two principles, we'll be quite preserved. I'm speaking especially to many young adult saints, young working saints, and married and single. I'll tell you, the church is more and more in your hands, as it should be. You don't need to become an elder. You don't need to be appointed this way or that. But you must rise up. There is a passing on of the baton, if you will, with so many younger ones rising up. And as I'm looking at the images of your meeting, I see so many young faces, and I'm so excited, so happy, so grateful to the Lord that it's not a bunch of old people there, but young people there. So I look at Montreal, I say John Chow on the front row, he's a little bit old. Well, the old people have their function, I'm not saying that. But I'm so happy to see the younger ones. I look at Ottawa, it's mostly young ones. I look at Toronto, many young ones. Halifax, I'm not very clear, there's not many saints there. But I believe in Eastern Canada, here and there, the Lord is raising many of the younger ones in their 20s, in their 30s, and so forth. It's time for you to rise up, dear saints. Don't say, let the older ones do the work. We don't know anything. I don't know what to do. Don't say that. In these days, rise up. Pick up the burden. No need to be appointed. You just pick up the burden. Burden is something you pick up. Burden is not just something assigned to you. Burden is something that you pick up in the church life. The church life has so many needs, so many different needs. Now, you go fill those needs and learn in the process. And in doing so, you'll be building up the church and building up the body of Christ. May the Lord bless all of you and bless this word. I think I'd better stop here. It's noon now. Perhaps you can all have just a little prayer as I sign off, and I think the brothers will decide what you should do next in different places.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Brother Mino.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. But this, we'll have some prayer, and each place can fellowship according to whatever you have. You know, maybe I think that here in Toronto, the brothers have asked us to maybe spend a little more time. I think Toronto is stay a little longer, but Montreal and Halifax. Amen. Let's bring all this to prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.